This article is brought to you by the best-selling Books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words at the right moment change everything. How to build synergy in multidisciplinary teams. A practical process for turning mixed skill teams into a unified force. In short, after reading this guide, you will be able to build real multidisciplinary team synergy using a clear, repeatable process, not just goodwill. Establish shared purpose and role clarity before anything else. Use structured communication rituals to keep disciplines aligned. Repair friction fast before it hardens into permanent division. Definition: multidisciplinary team synergy is the productive force that emerges when people from different professional disciplines combine their expertise toward a shared goal, generating results that no single discipline could achieve alone. It requires shared purpose, clear roles, and deliberate communication to sustain. Why multidisciplinary team synergy is harder than it looks.
You have seen it happen.
A team assembled with exactly the right mix of skills: an engineer, a designer, a strategist, a finance lead. On paper, it should work. 6 weeks later, the engineer and the designer are barely speaking. The strategist feels ignored, and the finance lead is sending passive-aggressive emails about scope. The goal has not changed. The people have not changed, but the team is fracturing. Knowing that team synergy matters is not the same as knowing how to build it. Most people who have tried and failed were not careless or difficult. They were operating without the right tools. Here is what actually makes this hard. Everyone speaks a different professional language. Engineers think in systems, or designers think in experience. Finance thinks in risk. When these languages collide without the translator, people assume incompetence, where there is only difference.
Roles feel obvious but are rarely clear.
In a multidisciplinary group, the overlap between disciplines creates invisible ownership gaps.
Two people assume the other is handling something. Nobody handles it. Trust takes longer to build across disciplines. Within a discipline, shared training creates shorthand. Across disciplines, you have to earn trust from scratch, and that takes time most project timelines do not budget for. Conflict looks personal when it is structural.
When a designer and a developer argue about timelines, it rarely comes down to character.
It comes down to each discipline's different relationship with uncertainty and iteration.
Meetings drain instead of align. Without a clear protocol for how decisions get made across disciplines, meetings become performances where everyone defends their patch of ground.
The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties.
It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start.
Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear.
Number one, a single shared goal, not a list of departmental objectives that happen to coexist on a roadmap.
One goal that every person in the room can state in a single sentence, and that makes each person's contribution obviously necessary.
Without this, you will have coordination, you will not have team synergy.
The goal must be specific enough that the group will know when they have reached it. Number two, named roles with clear boundaries. Every person needs to know what decisions they own, what decisions they inform, and what decisions belong to someone else.
This is not about hierarchy, it is about reducing the friction caused by ambiguity.
What is role clarity, and why it is the foundation of sustainable team synergy covers this in depth. Read it before your first team session if you can.
Number three,
a communication norm that everyone agrees to.
This means deciding in advance how the group will share updates, raise concerns, and make decisions. It does not need to be complex.
It needs to exist and be respected by everyone, including the most senior person in the room.
Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them.
Step 1. Name the shared purpose together.
This step creates the alignment that everything else depends on, and it only works if the team builds it together rather than receiving it from above.
A goal handed down from leadership is a target.
A goal built together is a commitment.
The difference shows up 6 weeks in, when the work gets difficult and someone has to choose between their discipline's priorities and the team's.
Call a dedicated session for this.
Not a kickoff where the shared purpose is one slide among 40.
A working session where the group actually wrestles with the question, what are we here to produce together and why does it matter?
Give every discipline equal floor time. Write the answer on a wall where everyone can see it.
Open the session by asking each person, what does success look like from your discipline's perspective?
Listen for the common thread running through every answer.
That thread is usually your shared purpose.
Draft the purpose statement in plain language, no more than 2 sentences.
Read it back to the group and invite challenge.
Does this feel true to what you're here to do?
Write the agreed statement visibly and return to it at the start of every meeting.
Here is what this sounds like in practice.
A team of engineers, UX researchers, and product managers spent their first hour in conflict because the engineers wanted to talk about technical constraints and the researchers wanted to talk about user needs.
The facilitator asked both groups, what would a failed project look like?
Every person described the same thing, a product nobody uses.
That shared fear became their shared purpose.
Within 20 minutes, they had a two-sentence statement that everyone could defend.
The arguments did not stop, but they changed character.
They became productive.
Once the group shares a purpose, disagreement stops being tribal.
It becomes useful.
Step 2. Map roles and handoffs explicitly.
Ambiguity about who owns what is one of the fastest ways to destroy the collaborative momentum you are trying to build.
In multidisciplinary teams, roles that seem obvious are often contested in practice.
The designer and the product manager both believe they own the user experience decision. The engineer and the strategist both assume the other person is tracking the risk.
These invisible overlaps create either duplication or gaps, and both produce frustration.
Spend time mapping not just what each person does, but where their work touches someone else's.
The handoffs are where synergy lives or dies. List every major decision the team will need to make over the project's life.
For each decision, name one owner, the person accountable for the final call.
For each decision, name the people who must be consulted before the call is made.
Document this in a shared format every member can access and amend.
Review the map at your first 3 weekly check-ins and update it when reality proves it wrong.
This is the structural work that makes psychological safety possible.
When people know their role is clear and respected, they engage without defensiveness.
After this step, the group moves from a collection of specialists to a system with defined connections.
A quick note before we continue.
Most people leave the hardest conversations for last
and regret the words they used when they finally had them.
The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you.
Get your copy at emonbuckthorn.com. Now, back to the article.
Step 3.
Establish a communication rhythm.
Without a steady rhythm of communication, multidisciplinary teams drift. Each discipline retreats into its own work cycle,
updates become infrequent,
and by the time someone raises a problem, it has already affected 3 other work streams.
A communication rhythm is not about adding more meetings.
It is about building the right moments of contact so the group stays calibrated without burning time on updates that could be written.
The rhythm has 2 parts, a regular short sync for alignment and a structured forum for decisions that affect more than one discipline.
Set a weekly sync of no more than 30 minutes.
Use the standing agenda so nobody prepares a presentation.
Open every sync with one question. What has changed since last week that the group needs to know?
Reserve a separate monthly session for cross-disciplinary decisions.
These need more time and more structure.
Create a shared written log of decisions made and their rationale.
People who missed a meeting should never be surprised.
Name one person as the keeper of the log. Rotate this role every month so it does not become a burden.
Here is what a weekly sync opening looks like.
The facilitator says,
"We have 30 minutes.
Let us go around once.
One thing that changed, one thing you need from someone in this room.
Nothing else.
It sounds too simple to work."
In my experience, it is exactly the right amount of structure to keep disciplines connected without turning every update into a performance.
A steady rhythm builds the trust that makes harder conversations possible later.
Step 4.
Create a protocol for resolving disagreement.
Here is the truth of it. Every multidisciplinary team will hit a moment when 2 disciplines reach opposing conclusions, both backed by real expertise. Without a protocol for that moment, the loudest voice wins, and the team loses confidence in its own process.
This is not about conflict avoidance.
Disagreement between disciplines handled well is one of the richest sources of multidisciplinary team synergy.
The goal is to build a process that turns friction into better decisions.
Establish the protocol before you need it.
The worst time to design a dispute resolution process is in the middle of a dispute.
Agree that when 2 disciplines disagree on a decision, the disagreement gets named explicitly rather than managed through silence.
Name the criteria the group will use to resolve it: user impact, feasibility, risk, or a combination.
Give each discipline a set amount of time to state its case. Typically 5 minutes is enough.
Have the decision owner make the call based on the criteria the group agreed to.
Log the decision and its reasoning so it can be revisited if the evidence changes.
You can read more about how giving feedback across disciplines fits into this process in a dedicated guide. When people trust the process, they accept decisions they disagree with.
That acceptance is what keeps the team moving.
Step 5. Build feedback into the work cycle.
Most multidisciplinary teams give feedback too late, too vaguely, or not at all.
By the time someone says this is not working, the problem has been building for weeks.
Feedback, built into the work cycle as a routine practice rather than a crisis response, is what keeps team synergy alive between the major milestones.
There are 2 levels of feedback. This team needs feedback on the work itself, and feedback on how the team is operating.
Do not confuse them. Each has its own rhythm and its own format. Schedule a brief retrospective at the end of every two-week cycle. 15 minutes is enough if it is focused. Ask three questions: what worked, what did not, and what will we do differently next cycle?
When giving feedback on a colleague's work, name the specific impact on your discipline before suggesting a change.
Receive feedback by restating what you heard before you respond. This prevents defensive reactions.
Escalate systemic patterns from retrospectives to the monthly decision session. Do not try to solve structural problems in a 15-minute retro.
Here is what this looks like in practice.
A team running its second retrospective.
The designer says to the engineer,
"When the technical constraints change without notice, I lose a full day of work."
"I'm not asking you to prevent changes. I am asking for a heads up before they land."
The engineer did not know this was happening.
That 15-minute conversation changed how they worked together for the rest of the project.
Emotional intelligence is what makes these feedback moments land well rather than land badly. It is worth developing alongside the structural process.
After you establish feedback as a habit, the team begins to self-correct rather than accumulate damage.
Step 6.
Celebrate collective wins, not individual disciplines.
One of the quieter threats to multidisciplinary team synergy is the habit of crediting individual disciplines for shared successes. When the engineer gets praise for the product launch and the designer feels invisible, you have introduced competition into a team that needs collaboration. This does not require grand gestures.
It requires consistency in how you name success. Make it a practice to attribute outcomes to the team's combined effort, especially in communications that go outside the room.
When one discipline's contribution is named, name the others too.
After a significant milestone, write a short summary of what each discipline contributed. Share it with the team before sending it upward.
In team meetings, name the handoff that made a good outcome possible.
This worked because design and engineering caught it early together. When someone in the team does strong work, ask them publicly.
Who helped you get there?
Resist the impulse to defend your own discipline's contribution in mixed company. Trust that the system will make it visible.
Review the pattern of recognition every month. If one discipline is consistently invisible in how success is named, to fix it.
This step builds the kind of mutual respect that sustains a team through difficult phases. It is also, in my experience, the most consistently skipped step in multidisciplinary teams.
Step 7. Review and renew the team's working agreements.
Working agreements are not permanent. A team that agreed on a communication rhythm in week 1 may find that rhythm no longer fits the work in week 10. Teams that fail to revisit their agreements do not adapt. They slowly revert to the default behaviors of each discipline. Build a review moment into the team's calendar, separate from project milestones, where the only question is, are our agreements still serving us?
Schedule a working agreement review every 6 to 8 weeks.
Ask each team member to name one agreement that is working well and one that needs updating.
Do not treat any agreement as sacred. If it is not serving the team, change it. Document the updated agreements and share them with anyone who joined the team after the original session.
Use cross-functional examples from leading organizations as a reference point if the team is struggling to find better ways to structure its norms.
This step is what separates teams that sustain synergy from teams that had a good first month and then plateaued. The best teams I have worked with treated their working agreements like living documents, tended regularly, pruned when necessary, and updated as the work evolved.
Adapting this process for remote multidisciplinary teams.
Remote teams face a specific version of this challenge. The informal moments that build cross-disciplinary trust in a shared office, the conversation by the coffee machine, the glance across the room when something goes wrong, do not exist. Distance amplifies every communication gap and makes role ambiguity far more costly.
Shared purpose needs a permanent home. In a co-located team, purpose can live on a wall.
In a remote team, it needs a pinned document, a shared channel header, and a standing agenda item.
If people cannot see it without actively looking for it, it fades. Synchronous time is precious. Use it well.
Remote teams often schedule more meetings to compensate for the lack of informal contact.
This is the wrong instinct. Schedule fewer, shorter, better structured syncs.
Use synchronous written updates for information sharing so that synchronous time is reserved for decisions and relationship.
Make the invisible work visible.
In remote settings, effort that happens off camera is easy to miss.
Build a lightweight system for noting what each discipline completed in a given period.
This prevents the resentment that builds when people feel their work is unacknowledged.
Conflict needs a dedicated channel. Psychological safety that enables honest communication is harder to maintain in remote settings where people default to text, which strips tone. Agree that significant disagreements are handled on a call, not in a thread.
The core process holds in every environment.
Only the execution changes.
Common mistakes to avoid.
Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself.
The mistake:
assuming shared purpose exists because it was stated in the project brief.
why it happens.
Leaders conflate informing people of a goal with building genuine commitment to it.
What to do instead? Spend a dedicated session building the purpose statement together and return to it every time the team loses direction.
The mistake?
Leaving role boundaries to common sense.
Why it happens?
In the early stages of a team, people are enthusiastic and willing to overlap. The problems only emerge when the work gets hard.
What to do instead?
Map ownership and hand off explicitly before the first major deliverable, not after the first major argument.
The mistake?
Running retrospectives as complaint sessions without action.
Why it happens?
Teams have the retrospective, but skip the step where someone writes down what changes next cycle.
What to do instead? End every retrospective with a name donor for each change, and check that change at the following session.
The mistake?
Letting one discipline dominate the communication rhythm.
Why it happens?
The most senior discipline or the discipline closest to the client often controls the agenda by default.
What to do instead?
Rotate facilitation of syncs across disciplines so every perspective shapes how the team communicates.
The mistake?
Waiting until the team is in conflict to build a resolution protocol.
Why it happens?
It feels unnecessary until it is urgently necessary, and by then the group is already defensive.
What to do instead?
Agree on the protocol in your second team session, before any significant disagreement has occurred.
These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system.
Fix the system.
Your practical checklist.
Use this checklist before you begin, and after each cycle. The team has a shared purpose statement written in plain language that every member helped build. Every team member can name their role, the decisions they own, and the decisions they inform.
Handoffs between disciplines are mapped and documented.
A weekly sync is scheduled with a standing agenda.
A monthly decision session is on the calendar for cross-disciplinary issues.
A written decision log exists and is accessible to all team members.
A disagreement protocol is agreed on and documented.
Retrospectives are scheduled every 2 weeks with a fixed 3-question format.
Collective wins are named and attributed to the team, not individual disciplines.
Working agreements are scheduled for review every 6 to 8 weeks.
At least one person is responsible for updating the role map when reality changes it.
New team members receive the working agreements document within the first week.
If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point.
Summary of the next steps.
You now have a complete step-by-step process for building multidisciplinary team synergy, not a set of principles to believe in, but a system you can put into practice this week.
Build shared purpose together, not just announce it from the top.
Map roles and handoffs before ambiguity creates conflict.
Establish a communication rhythm that keeps disciplines aligned without wasting time.
Create a disagreement protocol before you need it.
Make feedback a routine part of the work cycle, not a crisis response.
Name collective wins consistently. Credit the system, not just the stars.
Review working agreements every 6 to 8 weeks and update them honestly.
For your next steps, if you lead a team, read how leaders foster a culture of team synergy before your first session.
If you want to understand how the best organizations have built cross-disciplinary collaboration at scale, cross-functional team synergy examples from leading organizations will give you real reference points.
And if your team struggles to speak honestly in mixed discipline settings, what is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy is the place to start.
Building multidisciplinary team synergy is patient work, like tending something that grows in its own time. But tend it well, and it will carry the team further than any one discipline ever could.
Frequently asked questions.
What is multidisciplinary team synergy?
Multidisciplinary team synergy is what happens when people from different professional backgrounds combine their skills in a way that produces results none of them could achieve alone.
It requires shared purpose, clear roles, and communication norms that bridge the gaps between disciplines.
How do you build team synergy in a multidisciplinary group?
You build team synergy by establishing a shared goal, clarifying each person's role, and creating consistent communication rituals that keep the group aligned.
The process takes deliberate effort, especially in the early stages when trust is still forming across disciplinary lines.
Why is team synergy harder in multidisciplinary teams?
Multidisciplinary team synergy is harder because each discipline carries its own language, priorities, and assumptions about how work should be done.
These differences create friction that looks like personality conflict, but is usually a structural problem with communication and role clarity.
How long does it take to build team synergy?
Most multidisciplinary teams begin to feel genuine synergy between 6 and 12 weeks of consistent practice.
The early weeks are the hardest.
Once shared norms and mutual trust take hold, the collaborative momentum tends to grow on its own.
What breaks team synergy in mixed discipline teams?
The most common causes are unclear roles, poor feedback habits, and meetings that waste people's time without producing decisions.
When people feel their expertise is not respected or that their contribution is invisible, they disengage and the team loses its collective energy.
How does psychological safety affect team synergy? Psychological safety is the ground that team synergy grows from.
When people feel safe to speak honestly, challenge ideas, and admit uncertainty, the team can use its full collective intelligence.
Without it, people default to silence and self-protection, which kills collaborative momentum.
Thank you for listening.
If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way.
115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them.
Visit emonbookthorn.com to get your copy.